Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of all the earth. It seems like a normal, healthy desire to make a name for yourself, to be remembered after death, to create a powerful, memorable, lasting city. Why build a tall tower and use bitumen or tar for mortar? Because the men of Babel knew their history. They are the descendants of the survivors of that great flood that ravaged the world and spared only 8 people. So build it high and cover it with tar, lest we perish in a similar manner. And then we will be known as those who protected themselves from God. They failed. There was no catastrophic flood as the Lord had promised to withhold such destruction from the earth until the last day. But their tower never reached high enough to protect them or to spread their renown beyond God's reach. No, in fact, what they feared came to be. The triune God said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." And because their little dinky tower had not yet ascended to the heights of heaven, God said, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So he did. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of all the earth. They were dispersed. Their language was confused. Their plans confounded. No name for themselves. And still, the desire to make a name for yourself seems so normal. It's an intrinsic part of the American dream, a critical component of the so-called Protestant work ethic. Work hard that you may make a name for yourself. Making a name for yourself has little to do with money or power or prestige. Sure, those things may help make your name great, but that's probably not how you try to make a name for yourself. Rather, your supposed good works are the means for making your name, the bricks to build your tower into heaven. When you help your neighbor or earn his respect, when you volunteer on a committee or a board so that others will think more highly of you, when you tidy up around the house so your wife will be impressed, when your works are to gain the approval, the attention, the admiration of others, they are just false good works. Vain attempts to make a name for yourself. Anonymity is to be avoided. Good works, it seems, must be mentioned if they are to have any effect. But the name you make for yourself, no matter how great, simply cannot do what you want it to do. Sure, maybe you'll be remembered. They'll put your name on the memorial gift given to church in your honor, but you'll never know. Your name, however well remembered, cannot deliver you from death. Your name, however well known, cannot protect you from God. Anonymity is not nearly as bad as having your name slandered, which is precisely what God's law does to your name. But today is Pentecost. The curse of Babel is undone. The apostles were gathered together in one place when a rushing wind filled the house where they were sitting. As tongues of fire appeared on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the languages of all the people gathered in Jerusalem for the first harvest festival of Pentecost. At Babel, God descended to disperse, to thwart man's self-aggrandizing plans, to deter him from seeking salvation in himself. At Jerusalem, God descended to gather, to proclaim the gospel, to point him to the sole source of salvation. Today is Pentecost as well. Today, the nations hear the gospel proclaimed in their own tongue. Dispersed, desperate, and dying, the diverse bodies of people are brought into the one body of Christ, his church. Here, the one language of the gospel is spoken to sinners crushed by the weight of their sins. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in Jesus' name, has come. He has come in Jesus' name to bring you that very name, a new name, a name far better than any you could make for yourself or give to yourself. The Holy Spirit comes to bring the name of Jesus to you. Between Babel and Pentecost, the Lord descended to deliver his people from their sins. Jesus, who ascended in order to send the Holy Spirit, is he who came to take away your sins, to remove all the bricks of your own false righteousness, and to give you his real righteousness. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has done for you what you cannot do for yourself. He has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. And in the same way, what he does for you, he does for the whole church of God throughout time and space. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You have a new name, a name that endures, a name remembered into eternity. You have the name of the triune God placed upon you in the waters of holy baptism. This is no name you could make for yourself, not even any name you could claim for yourself. But this name has claimed you, given you a new identity, taken away your sin and your fear of being forgotten. No one who bears the name of the one true God is forgotten. Those whom he claimed, he remembers. Even if death claims you before the day of Christ's return, your Lord remembers you. Even though the memory of your name might fade from the minds of friends and family, there is no forgetting in the body of Christ. Your Lord remembers those who belong to him. In fact, he knows and remembers you by name. The name you could never make for yourself, he has given to you. You were named as you were christened, as you were baptized. God calls you by name in the waters of baptism, and he will call you by name from the grave on the day of his return. He knows your name. It is pressed into his memory, and he will not forget. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not a once-and-done deal. The wind that filled the room where the disciples were gathered on Pentecost is the ongoing breath of the Christian life. To live the Christian life is to be receiving the Holy Spirit. The same voice of the gospel that filled the mouths of the apostles on Pentecost still fills the mouths of his preachers. The Holy Spirit is still active to preserve the gift of faith that he delivered where and when the word is preached. The same Holy Spirit breathes the breath of eternal life into you in the delivery of the forgiveness of sins in holy absolution. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies you and keeps you with Jesus Christ. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all believers. He does this not once, but your whole life long. To live in the name given to you at baptism is to continue to receive the Holy Spirit in the church, in his appointed means of grace, where he delivers faith and where he preserves faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.